The reason for that is sometimes parents come and they say, how can I inspire my children to seek God realization? My answer is, if it's their destiny, they will become inspired by your example. If it is not their destiny, they won't. And who are you to say what they need? All you can do is live your life as truly and deeply as you know, and to inspire yourself to deepen your own path. And if by some good fortune it rubs off, well and good. If not, so be it. Consciousness is not stupid. Consciousness knows what it's doing. So when the events of your life roll down a certain way, instead of crying and moaning and feeling very abandoned, I ask you to just remember that the part of you that is consciousness is perfectly clear on why you are experiencing whatever you're experiencing. It is the body-mind that becomes frightened. It is the body-mind that says it should be different. I want it to be this way instead of that way. I don't want my daughter to be this way. I want her to be that way. The consciousness manifesting as your children will do precisely what consciousness wants. Haven't you figured that out? I mean, did you do everything your parents wanted? Consciousness is creative. Creative, abundant creation. Endlessly moving with tremendous awareness. Be aware of it. Have some good humor around it. And just deepen. You will understand and pass the threshold of fear. Because there is a fear threshold. When you still think you're body, mind, and you wish you weren't. When you wish you were conscious love and self instead of limited body, mind. You know that struggle when you want to love but can't? Do you know that feeling when you want to love but you can't? You won't be able to love until you're conscious. Until you're conscious of awareness itself. Because until that time, you will be afraid. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you frighten each other. Haven't you figured that out? You frighten each other because you see someone outside yourself as being able to take away your happiness, or someone to be able to limit your happiness, or to do something with your happiness. And as long as you are in that modality, you will be frightened of those you love. Because they hold the power in your life. And the minute you pass that threshold into love itself, you then get to the point where you say, you know, dear one, you go do what you want. It may be hard for me, but you go and do what you want. My love is constant. Because then you feel in the state of constant love. And in that constancy, allow others to go and do as they will. Until you're awakened, my friends, you can't really love each other. You can attempt it, and by all means, it's much better to attempt to love each other than to allow yourself to run around hating each other. But to understand true and deepest love, you cannot do that until you know. Until you know that no one is in any way can harm you. That you are consciousness itself, undeniably as it is. And when you know that, then love happens. You don't love, love happens. Until that time, by all means, try to be loving, try to be kind. Why? Because the more you practice that, the closer you are to the reality of loving kindness. But if you don't feel like it, then don't. Be unloving, be unkind. Just learn, please. All these judgments just must stop. And as you watch others in your life, the tendency to say, you should be different, you should be doing... Stop it. If possible, stop it. Allow them to be as they are. With some kind of deep knowing inside, that consciousness will manifest as it will. Does this mean that you don't tell them your thoughts? Of course not. This doesn't mean you bring LSD into your 6-year-old's room and say, have a drink. You use your awareness, but you also stand on the ground of truth, which is you do what you do, and they do what they do. You say your truth as you know it, and they do their truth as they understand it, and that's the way of it. Do you understand the let go of that? You continue to be yourself, to say your truth, to live your life, to say whatever it is, not just to children, but to everyone, You say your truth, but all the time, please understand, Shakespeare had it right. You're all actors on the stage. And when you finally understand that, then you realize it is your part to play the heavy. It's your part to play the jealous one. It's your part to play the licentious one. It's your part to play the betrayer and then the betrayed and blah, blah, on endlessly. But you finally understand that behind all of the ever-changing facade of drama, there is a truth that does not in any way is not in any way limited by any drama, and it arises out of the willingness to be silent and to let it experience itself in you. If you are attached to the drama of your life, then you will continue in that vein, and that's no problem. But one day, you will perhaps get tired of the drama. I think that's why a lot of you come tired of the drama and see that it's endless. The drama today will be different from tomorrow. What you have today, you'll lose tomorrow. What you lost yesterday, you'll gain in another way, on endlessly. There is no ultimate happiness to be found in the realm of the changeable. And you know this, and you find it in yourself. The changeless, that's your job. The changeless, the changeless, the changeless. And you know it's present because you never doubt that you are who you are. You never say, am I a Shishu or am I Jill? No? And all these people that say, oh, I'm so in love, I want to blend and be one person. That's no fun in that. Half of the fun is you're different. So you can fight. I mean, that's the fun. You know? So you can have different opinions, so you can yell and scream and have a little drama. But finally, one day it ends. Deeply inside, you say, I'm tired of having my happiness conditioned on others. I'm tired. I need to know my own truth and then be whatever it is I need to be. But now I must know. And that is consciousness saying, now is the time. And I repeat, I know that the moment consciousness asks the right question, the answer is presented. And the question is, who are you? Are you Charlene? Not a possibility of it. And you will know. You will know. Question. Explain the weaning process. And I had a clarification through Mary Margaret of what this meant. This meant, in the process of a group that had been together for some time, and that the group itself had stopped the growth of the group. Do you know this phenomena? You belong to a spiritual group, you do the same thing year after year after year, and finally one day you realize, good heavens, we haven't done anything new and exciting and changeable for years. It's the same old thing. Well, then stand up and walk out. But before you walk out, turn around and in all honesty of heart, say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Never leave a path in anything but love, please. Those of you who have been born into very tight religious rule models, do you know what I mean? Very tight rules. And as you break out of those rules and begin to live your own life, the tendency is to cast dispersions upon the past path. And I ask you not to. Just say, well, thank you, I learned what I had to, I'm on my way. Now, whether they're going to be happy to let you go or not is another problem. But that's their problem. Do you understand? The necessity of a mature psyche to turn and give total gratitude and obeisance to a path that you're leaving. Not finding fault with it in order to force yourself out of it, but just realizing that as soul or as awareness, you grow. And as you grow, you outgrow. And the things that you outgrow are concepts that bind you to a view of yourself that you no longer can accept. You have come to the place, many of you, that you can no longer believe that your basic nature is sinful. Isn't that the truth? You just can't believe it anymore. And that if you don't follow the rules, you're all going to run amok. But this is just not the truth of it. And as you understand this, you leave behind the path that stated those rules. But understand that wherever you stand, you're standing on the shoulders of another path. And you say with all gratitude, thank you. I don't mean you go up to them and say thank you. That might give them a totally wrong opinion. But within your heart, thank you. And then you move on. And even some of the darkest paths, you know, some people, there's this, the whole idea of the Satanism and the Satan gods. And as dark and as difficult as that is, I have seen tremendous light come pulsating through the hearts of people who have been subjected to that kind of dark confusion. Those of you in this room that have had that, do you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. It's important to understand. The light blazes often through those darkest places. Through some of the most difficult beginnings, it blazes through. Those of you that have had difficulty in your early years, you become lights to the world itself. So the weaning process, I think, actually, is just a maturation. And the acknowledgement that no longer is the ritual of whatever the particular group working. Not that they was wrong, it's just the necessity to move on. And just make the statement clearly to them and move on yourself. I think there's no easier way than to just stand up and turn in gratitude and say, thank you, I think I'll try something else. If you are clear, they will be clear. If you were contorted about it, or guilty, you know that word, guilty. If you are guilty about it, then they can grab you. It is your guilt they grab. You figured this out, haven't you? It's your guilt. Oh, what happens if the born-agains are really right? And Mary Margaret is the devil. Well, remember, who is that gentleman who ran for president? In your heart, you know what's true or something? Mr. Goldwater. Well, in your heart, you know what's true. But also in your heart, you run into your fears. And the fears rise up. You think, my God, maybe it's right. Maybe I should have the rules. Maybe I am going too far out. Maybe I am crazy. Well, ask yourself, are you crazy? Do you feel happier this way or the other way? If you're happier the other way, jump back into the rules. By all means, they're always there. There will always be rules waiting for people. That's just your choice. There comes a time where a mature soul says, I'm going to make my own rules, and they're going to be made out of love and compassion. I have never seen a mature soul pick death and destruction and harmfulness. Once they leave the rules, they move into deeper and deeper levels of true love, meaning they love and approve of people that aren't even in their own belief structure. They love people that don't do it their way. They just love people. Not certain people and certain people that do it the right way. They just learn to love. I ask you, you know, there was a question that Mr. Moore had, and the question is, are there any signs of you knowing in these years to come whether you are on the right path, whatever that path might be? And of course there are. Let's go over them. You know them. But let's pretend you don't. You're all so funny. You know what they are. Rule number one. Rule number one. If you more and more, find yourself in a relaxed and open attitude toward life, all of life, with all of its differences, you're on the right path. Do you understand that? If you find yourself more relaxed, and more, that doesn't mean you jump in and do it their way, but just that relaxation that allows that to be there. There is room for everything in consciousness. And when you know this, then you're willing to just relax and allow anything else. It's just as it is. Maturation. Another sign. You're happier. It doesn't mean like this, happy. Happy, I'm happy. My life is going great. The testimony of whether you are deeply deepening is not whether your life is getting better. I know that's really depressing. You know, people say, why are we doing all this if it doesn't mean your life gets better? I say, it doesn't matter what's going to happen in your life. Back to the blueprint. The blueprint is it is. But you have the capacity to be full of bliss in the middle of the messiest blueprint. It is not in the nature of the blueprint to bring you happiness. You know this. Some people have absolutely beautiful blueprints. Their lives just flow out. All the money they want, all the sex they want, all the whatever, ever they want. And are they happy? What's their question? Where is happiness? It's everyone's question. Where is happiness? And you know exactly where it is. It's quietly inside of your own awareness itself. Just waiting to leap out at you. Just waiting to leap out at you in the silence, in the letting go, in the no longer judging, scolding. Stop it. And the best one of all is, have you stopped scolding yourself? Have you stopped scolding yourself? Have you begun to feel that there is a power called awareness or consciousness or God or Buddha mind, whatever you want to call it, that is pulsating through your life, that is absolutely reliable, and that if you relax into its promptings, if you relax into its unfoldment, that you find peace? I don't mean that you will not be confused, and I do not mean that you will not be afraid, but in the midst of confusion and fear, there is an ever-deepening sense of all right, of it's all right. All of it is all right. Do with me as you will. And if you say, do with me as you will, then we have to postulate, let them do as they will. Not as I will, as they will. Is this the big let go? Oh my. Because you still think that your ranting and raving and yelling up and down is going to have an effect. Haven't you learned it's very limited? And soon fades. Just peace of heart in the midst of all kinds of difficulty. Constantly with consciousness turning back on itself, caressing the face of consciousness itself. Moment after moment after moment, it becomes bliss. And as was stated earlier, sometimes, you know, you do understand, it seems to be an ever-deepening process. For some people, it's an explosion. For most people, it's a process, which is not really a process. But the words are so confusing. You know, if they drop you from a helicopter into the ocean and you start to sink down to the bottom, you wouldn't call it a process, would you? Would you? You wouldn't say, I'm in the process, I'm in a process, I'm in a process. You'll say, good grief, this process has a hold of me. This process is pulling me down to the bottom. Whatever my desire may be to go up there scuba, or no, surfboard, or canoe, or kayak, but all of a sudden I find myself caught, and I am in an ever-deepening, but you don't call it a process. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's not a process. A process is something that you think out and work at. Well, it's just the letting go, and you find yourself ever-deepening. That's what this is all about. You call it a process, then you have to find a processor. You have to find out who's processing it, and when to do it, and how to do it, and what color clothes to wear when you're doing it, and what kind of food to eat that won't inhibit this process. Stop it. You see, we only have one more meeting. I can say anything I want. Just stop it. No process. But think about this. You know, you're on a helicopter, they throw you out. Did you say, oh, this is my process? You know, you've been thrown out. And there you are, drifting down, hit the water, all the way down. It's not a process. It's an important distinction. Because some of you are just trying too hard. And in the trying, you're missing the being. In the trying, you're missing the bliss of not trying. The ego loves it for you to try. It says, did you try enough? Oh, Linda, not enough. Oh, Sandra, no. All confusion, all more ideas between you and the bliss of it. It's up to you. Just stop. So simple. Ego rises up, but you have to do something. You have to do something. Well, really? We'll see. We'll see. What is the true nature of prayer? I think we've gone into this quite a few times, but just a moment. Once again, there are many layers of prayer, and you know the ones on the surface. And you know, the attitude is that you little you is praying to something big. And you hope that the big, Mr. or Miss Big, however you see it, it's usually Mr., isn't it? If Mr. Big is paying attention. And you hope that Mr. Big loves you enough to listen to you, or at least is, you know, around somewhere where he can hear you. And there's a whole level of prayer. And then it deepens. And you just stop asking for things and just ask for God Himself. And that is a real leap in prayer. When you just stop asking for God to take care of you, to make you safe, to keep your family, there's no problem with that. Go ahead and do it. But the deepest prayer comes when you realize that the only thing you want is to pray for God's face itself. Nothing else. Show me your face. Show me your face. And then one day, because that's still pretending separate, you know, you're here and God's there, all of a sudden, one moment, and usually in a momentary flash, there comes this big aha. Ah! There's no separation. That which is asking is that which is giving. In the vernacular of the day, the seeker is the sought. The seeker is the sought. This is why I like to put it to you in terms of consciousness, that one moment consciousness says, I want to know myself. And then the process becomes very clear of consciousness, knowing itself. And at one time, consciousness pretends to be separate from itself. That's where you are now. But then comes one moment when you realize that is not true, that you are consciousness itself. And then the bliss of dropping out of that into awareness itself, which is the silent constancy. Wonderful. But you've all asked the right question. Another way of saying it, you've all prayed the right prayer. And the prayer is, show me who I really am. Show me that part of me that I need to experience so I can never be afraid again. So I can, in the midst of whatever surface fear is possible, know deeply inside myself all's well. Where do you think this strange statement comes from? God's in God's heavens, all right with the world. Have you looked at the world lately? How can you make this statement with any kind of sanity? All's right with the world. It looks very confusing. It looks very painful. It looks very separated, and yet the truth remains, in the midst of all of that, all's right. All's right. All's right with the world and past the world. All's right. But to understand that with a conscious mind is nonsense. But to understand that with the being of being, then you have it. But you can't think yourself into this state. You can only let go and let the state find you. Because the question about prayer is, who are you praying to? And if you believe that you're praying to something outside yourself, then by all means do so. No problem with that. But the final, definite, ending prayer is, just show me. Show me, show me. And in the scene, you know. No more questions. No more questions. Just silent being. Or talking being. Just being. Huh. I recommend it. Can you comment on the truth of the hierarchy for higher beings in Rainer Johnson's Nurslings of Immortality? Well, there are hierarchies. And it depends, you know, if you say, what is the true hierarchy? Well, you know, there are endless ways to see it. It depends on your frame of reference. If you come from Buddhism, they have their hierarchies. From Hinduism, they have theirs. Christianity, they have theirs. There are always hierarchies. And if you're asking, are the beings real? I would say in a relative sense, just as you in a relative sense are real, they are real. But if you're asking me, in the deepest sense, are they real? I say, no, anything that is created dies. And the only thing that is reality itself is that which is never created. Just don't worry about it, Midge, because if you just, you're very close to that silent point, so I would ask you to keep on with the silencing.
I wasn't worried about
it. I know you're not, but I just don't want you to think about it. Well, you can think. You enjoy thinking. Yes, she is curious. That's fine. You realize it's curiosity that got you here. Curiosity will get you to God. You know, if nothing else, just finding out, is there really one? I mean, that's a good question. Are you really there? Is it real or is it not? Is it real or is it false? What a good question. We'll find out. And don't make this assumption, oh yes, it's real. How do you know? How do you know? Somebody's, this whole thing about reincarnation, how do you know? Just go and find out. Find out, is there a God? Are there hierarchies? Are there greater beings? Just find out. Don't ask me. Because no matter what I say, you see, if you really believed me, you'd all be totally, fully awakened right already. So you understand the game we're playing. You see, if you pretend not to know, you ask me, I tell you, and you don't listen. Or if you listen, you don't believe. Because if you believed it deeply enough, you would stop and find out. You would at least, this is my prayer. Someone says, how can we thank you for all these years? Well, there's no need to thank, but there is an interesting point here. What would be really wonderful is if you would take this teaching and pretend it was true, even if you don't believe it, so that you can get to the truth and find out what is true. What is the truth? What is the truth? If there's any kind of thing I would ask, it's that. That you take the teaching and try it. Deeply. Moment after moment. Day after day. Try it. Find out. Is it all wind? Or is there truth? Find out. Be that which seeks. Just try it. When confusion is there, you're in your mind. Please remember that. When doubt is there, you're in your mind. You've told yourself a story. You've moved away from the truth of how you feel because you know full well exactly who you are. How could you not? How could you not? So, just be willing to stop playing and find out the truth. The mature psyche says, show me. What you're saying to yourself is, show yourself. Fine. Don't get lost in words. This is why we're stopping this. No more words. There will come fear, and the temptation is to get another set of words to hang on to. Fine, do it. Do what you have to do. But don't ever believe that the words will do it. You don't need anything other than who you are and this glorious moment. Richard, did you want to say something?
Well, I just was thinking that there's a lot of fear about what's going to happen when Bartholomew goes away. And I kind of flashed on something that happened with my five-year-old when I told him I was going to take the training wheels off the bike. And as soon as I took the training wheels off, he said, oh, that's much better.
Wonderful.
That's the way you're supposed to ride the bike, isn't it? And
yes.
Says, yeah, the training wheels just sort of give you the illusion of it.
Yes, wonderful.
And I feel as though that's what's happened. Yeah, I'm glad you're taking
the... Absolutely, take off the training wheels. That's well done, well said. And the wonder of it is, you'll find out how well you ride these bikes. You know, you will find out where the power lies. It has never been any place other than within you. So, you can buy another pair of training wheels. Don't make it too expensive. Make sure it's not too expensive. Or you can just stay with a natural rhythm to take the story of the training wheels and the bicycle another step. You can take the fully experience the feeling of riding the bicycle. Will you fall? Yes. Will you get on it again? Yes. Will you get the hang of it? Yes. Will you get the hang of it so well that you forget you're riding the bike? Yes. Will it be so automatic that it is constancy of being? Yes. And it's all true of the path of consciousness as well. Just being willing to take off the wheels and experience in your own body exactly what the truth is. Not relying on any data out of your mind, but what is the truth now, in this moment for me? What is really true? Who am I really now? Now, who am I, please? I've been called many things, but never a set of training wheels. This is marvelous, marvelous. All right, my friends. We're going to close at around 12, because I don't want to take you too long here. So, questions from the floor. Yes.
As most of us know, this all began 17 years plus ago in the home of Dr. Louisa and Dr. John Aiken.
True.
And Dr. Louisa is with us today. And I'm sure that Dr. John is with us.
Not too much with us, I hope. On to bigger and better things.
Anyway, I think it'd be so nice for all of us to say thank you to them for being the cause of
the culprits. The culprits, yes. Dr. Louisa, thank you. Thank you. Well, Marty, you've upstaged me because I was going to do that at the close. But now that it's been done, Dr. Louisa, I'll be seeing you soon. Dr. Louisa, thank you. Thank you. You know, one of her greatest gifts was lovely Mary Margaret. As Mary Margaret. Never expected her to be other than Mary Margaret, fortunately, since that's who she was. So thank you. So, yes, you from the balcony, your oratory will be well received.
In a state that's called the witness consciousness, where the small mind disappears, and awareness makes itself known, and there's total silence, and is that state different, in fact, from enlightenment? Or is it the same?
From what?
Whatever you want to call it.
All right. The question is, that state where the mind is still, and there's just the witness consciousness, is that different from enlightenment? The answer, my friend, is very simple. There are certain, and here again, we're caught in words again, but now let's remember the analogy of being dropped of the helicopter without one's own volition. You know, you're not running the helicopter. Somebody just throws you out. And you pummel yourself down through the air, and you hit the water, and you start this descent. One stage of that descent is what you're experiencing. No question about it. And there is ever-deepening sense of that that carries you into vaster parts of the stillness. So I would say without question, it's a part of it, but by no means is it limited to that. But it is absolutely one of those parts of the experiencing. You know, you experience water very differently when you're riding a surfboard on top of the waves and when you're at the depth of the sea. But it's the same sea, and there's everything in between. And this is definitely one of the stages, no doubt, no question, no question. But it's so much deeper and vaster and firmer than that, more constant and firmer. Because the thing about that state, which is reached through meditation, is it comes and goes, which then brings up the sadness, oh, I'm missing it, oh, I wish it were here. And all of these words bring up the illusion in the mind that that state can only be found in deep meditation. Whereas in reality, it can be found at any moment. I realize that the lineages of many states of religion tell you that you have to do certain things in order to deepen. And I'm not arguing that they work. I'm simply saying one of the statements you're going to hear in the next years is that this is the moment and the deepening can happen now without any formal external process. When the heart really believes that, awakening happens. Because then every moment is used instead of waiting for meditation time. Does this mean we discourage meditation? You know that's just not true. But at the same time, to believe that meditation alone will bring you to it is to limit it. It's now. If consciousness wants to awaken to itself, it will. And in your case, it works one way. In someone else's case, it works another. But it's all wondrously part of this vast potentiality. Please, ladies and gentlemen, don't limit creativity to just your point of view. All right? Don't limit creativity to just your point of view. I'm not speaking to you. All right? I'm not speaking. Just truly understand that there's room in it for everybody's point of view, and everybody's pointing in the same direction, no matter how strange that appears. You know, you look at your shoulders and say, they're going in the same direction? Just know, consciousness is always on its way to awakening to its own true nature. Yes?
Along that same line, I think Richard Buck described enlightenment as when the brain meets, when it actually forms a pathway across the brain and joins the left and the right side. And it's almost like an electrical contact that makes light. But I don't think that's what's going on.
That's as good as any. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you see, if you want to believe that it's limited to your brain and that if your right and left brains get together, that you'll explode in awakening, that's a beautiful model. I like it far better than some of these others. You know, that you have to die and then hope that it's there, you know, that kind. No, it's wonderful. If the belief is there, then when they meet, which energy can be, you know, flowing in certain directions, absolutely, why not? I have no complaint with that, as long as we understand that is only one definition. Because, for example, then we have this wonderful definition of the kundalini, which is something totally different, that it rises up out of the spine and goes up and explodes in the head. All right, that goes great for the Indians. But then we have all these Catholics and all these Christians, and what do they say? They say, no, it's the other way. There's this wonderful fountain that just comes down from the top of the head and goes through all of your body and grounds you to the ground and makes you one pulsating electrical wire. There are other teachers that say, no, it's a power within the heart that spreds out and joins with all other hearts. They're all fine. But we must not define one way over another, which I'm sure you're not doing. Just this warning. There are as many ways as there are people, which is what I hope brings up the real delight of allowing everybody else to be the people that they are and to pursue it in their own way. Why not? Yes.
I feel I need to say this at this time, because a lot of us, and that's exactly what you're saying about everyone has it their own way. How much should we worry about the political situation where certain beliefs bring up the ideas such as homosexuals are evil and the devil, and that gives people the permission to go and kill and torture these people? And
What's the question? I understand the dilemma, but what's the question?
Or is this right that the way to approach this is just to try to flood these people with as much love as possible?
No rules. Here we go. Now the rule is, and one, you must flood the other person with love and light. Rule two. Lovely one, I understand the question. My answer is, hear this, please hear this. Consciousness is going to work in you the way consciousness works. You will not choose how to approach that problem. It will come upon you. You will become an activist, or you will become a pacifist, or you will sit and flood light. Whatever it is in you for consciousness to do about that situation, you will find yourself doing. And you have to applaud that and say, this is consciousness in me, and good for me. This does not mean you turn around and say, all right, everybody else in the room, you have to do it too. Because consciousness will move in their own ways. You understand? You must be spontaneously in the let go of letting consciousness do what it fully will do. You know, it's going to do it anyway. You see, you can't force yourself to have a different point of view. This is something I know you all know, but just let me remind you. You cannot change other people's points of view. Stop trying. It's not necessary. Consciousness moves through them. You say, yes, but there's all this pain and suffering and people hurting each other. I understand that. I understand all of that. But I honestly say that when you get just for a moment that consciousness is playing you. Consciousness is playing through your system and results in the beauty of you, exquisitely as you are, responding differently than your neighbors to every situation or some situations. And all's well. There does not have to be an accumulation of agreement. You just have to understand unto thine own self be true. You can't not be true. Even when you think you're not being true to your true self, consciousness is playing through you in its own song. And sometimes that song is discordant. You got it. Good. Good, yes.
Why would creative consciousness want to pretend to be separate from itself?
Why not? The question is, why would consciousness want to be experience itself as separate? Well, why not? You see, look, ladies and gentlemen, you know as consciousness that you love diversity. Look at all you've created. And there's been tremendous delight in that, creative potentiality. So, the wonderful thing about consciousness, it has two aspects. One is awareness, which is the silent non-motion of awareness. No form, the formless. The deep, magnificent, no thing. Wonderful. And at the same time, the delight of feeling consciousness in motion, which is the 10,000 created things, everything rising out of that. There's a joy and a dance in both aspects. You understand, both are lovely. You see, up until this time, you thought you had to give up one for the other. You thought you had to give up deep awareness in order to play as consciousness. And what I'm trying to tell you is you don't have to give up anything. You can continue playing as consciousness and be totally aware of awareness at the same time. Should never have done it.
I don't want to ask.
Yes, I understand the question. Go ahead, Ruth.
That's, I thought maybe you could go into that. Is that going to be getting a new millennium?
She said, this windbag up here was so foolish as to one day mention the year 2012. That's this windbag. Well, all I will say about that is that, yes, big things are afoot. Big things are afoot, big changes, you know that. You don't need anybody up here to tell you that. You know they're afoot. In fact, part of your struggle is to try and keep your feet on the ground while all the changes take place around you. But the reason we mentioned 2012 is that if things go the way they are going, there seems to be the coming together of a lot of forces and energy at that time. And the basic rule is, of course, there are those that think it's going to be a disaster, those that think it's going to be wonderful. And I would say, depending on your point of view, so will it be. Isn't that discouraging? Depending on your point of view, so will it be. In the midst, let's say that you're one of those terrorists. That means you're full of terror. That's my definition of a terrorist, is someone who is full of terror. All right, and here you are as a terror. You're full of terror over this impending possibility. You cannot stop thinking that. You cannot make yourself be a believer that all's well. You are afraid. All right, be afraid. But remember, in the midst of your fear, to ask the right question, which is, who is afraid? Instead of getting caught up in the fear and trying to figure out, well, let's see, shall I put food in the basement? Shall I move to where, Nebraska? I think Nebraska is supposed to be one of the safe havens. Well, move to Nebraska and see how well they like this game we're playing. You know, do what you want. But in the midst of whatever your point of view, if you are a terrorist and are afraid, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. You're not to stop being a terrorist. Go ahead and be one. But in the midst of it, ask the right question. Who is terrified? Instead of going down the line of thinking about the things you're afraid of, stop the thinking and ask the question. Who is fair? Who's afraid? Who is afraid? That's the question. Who is afraid? If you're a non-terrorist and think it's all going to be wonderful and beautiful, instead of spending time thinking about yourself sitting on a lotus with a great light beaming out of your head, which, you know, may or may not be your definition of 2012, I ask you instead, I mean, that's a lot of fun, but the point here is, who is sitting here thinking about sitting on a lotus with beams coming out of its head? The question remains the same. You do not have to change your points of view. You just have to stop talking about them to yourself endlessly in your mind and allow the space of emptiness to reveal its tremendously ever-present total compassion, total safety, total safety. It doesn't matter. Total safety is present only in the face of true knowledge. And true knowledge is something that comes in an instant of just acknowledgement. Ah. Ah. And as many moments as you drop out of thinking mind, you have an ever-deepening experience of the ah. There's no one in this room that hasn't had ah. Is there? I don't believe it. You wouldn't listen to all this wind. You all have the ah. In different ways, shapes, forms, sizes, times, ages. It's been different, but you have it, or you wouldn't wade through all of this. Ah, the knowing. The knowing. This idea that you have to go until you get to a certain place and then you'll really be a knower. We're back to the question. You know, for most people, it's an ever immersion. And again, we're back to our statement. You can't, as you're falling through the ocean, force yourself to deeper levels. The body moves as it will through water down to various levels. So is it with awakening. All that's necessary is that you remember that there is such a thing as stopping thinking and allow yourself to experience the non-thinking awareness moment after moment, as many moments, and then thinking arises and it's much more fun. You know, you all like to take baths, but if you sat in a bath for 24 hours a day, it would become a prison. There's nothing wrong with your thinking mind, but if you sit in it 24 hours a day, it's a prison. Just allow yourself to get out, drop out. Just drop. The senses tell you that the only real reality is that which you perceive with the senses. Well, of course they would tell you that. What else would they tell you? Go find something better than me? No. But inside of you, each one of you intuitively know that there is something far more wondrous than any pleasure you have experienced through any of your senses, including thinking, including loving, to whatever extent you can do so. You all know there is a deeper state, or you would not be here. So, find it. Take off all the rules and find it. Meaning, just let it reveal its face. Always there. That's it. So simple. Are we repeating ourselves? Absolutely. You know? So, I could say it a million ways. You know the answer. Someone says, why do you have to keep saying the same thing? And I said, because really, there's only one message to be given. Through all these years, we've had different messages. But the real truth of all the messages is, find out. Stop taking hearsay. From here, I told you from the beginning, don't take hearsay from here. If anything that is set up here sparks you to an adventure of experimentation within your own psyche as to the truth of what you've heard from here, then it's done its job. Do you understand? It sparked the desire in you to find out what you are. But to be attached to the words, no. Yes?
First, the statement, and I think it'll probably turn into a question as I go on, so I'll just start with it. It seems to me that too many people, myself included, are in quest for the answer without realizing that we should actually be in quest for the question. I could say, not. What does that mean? It means absolutely nothing until I say 3 times 3. And then it has meaning. All right. Now, is it true that we are actually in quest for question or in quest for answer?
Both and neither. Yes. Look, that's a question out of the mind. All right. And if for you it works to say, I'm looking for the question, then I absolutely ask you to throw yourself fully into that statement. If someone else, on the other hand, is looking for an answer, they will throw themselves into looking for an answer until they find out that they can't find it by looking for it. They can only find it by stopping and letting it find them. I've told all of you again and again, you have to stop and let this find you. You're trying to get to it. Just stop and let it find you. And so when the proper answer or the proper question, whatever word stimulates that process, beautiful. Beautiful. And of course for you it's one way. Good. Good. But this seeking for an answer, it's only useful unto a point, until you understand, ladies and gentlemen, how long have you been seeking? And in how many ways? Now this, now that. Let's try this, let's try that. Just stop it. Let it find you. That's my last statement to you about this. Let it find you. Slow down, sit down, silence down. Let it find you. It will find you. But you see, because sensuality and the whole sensual world says go get it, you go out and try and get it. And so, of course, it's a turning back on itself. But again, I'm fully, fully relaxed. Someone says, how can you know we'll all awaken? And you know the answer. I've stated it today. Because you asked the question, which is, I want to awaken. Who's asking the question? Consciousness. Who's going to answer? Consciousness. What's the problem? There is no problem. There is no problem. It isn't like you ask your mommy and daddy and hope they answer. It's not like that. Consciousness has asked the question of consciousness, and it will respond. Period. You're not asking something outside of yourself that may or may not want to tell you the answer. You're asking yourself. But self is also asked the question, and self answers. There is no separation between the questioner and the answerer. There is no separation between the seer, the seeing, and the seen. It's one thing. You describe it in three parts. It is one thing. Consciousness is not only the seer, but the seeing and what is being seen. One thing. Where are you so separate? Where is the separation? In your mind is the separation. Just stop the mind and you will see. And you will actually see that it is seeing, seen, and that being seen is all one thing. You will know. Oh, well, enough of that. So, if there are any other questions, just remember, they're in your mind. And no matter what answer would be given, another question would take its place. It is the nature of believing in mind that keeps you from the reality of your being. So then, what do we say? As we say, you know, I love the words, goodbye. Good words. Good. Good. Goodbye. A good and true goodbye. And please remember that if you ever feel lonely, that you're probably missing the fun that we've had. Because we've had a good time, haven't we? It's been a lot of fun. And that's what you may miss. Just like if one of your children's best friends moves away, can't play anymore. Not like that. But they can pick up the telephone. And you all have a telephone. Whether you know it or not, you have a direct line to the part of our beautiful experiment that can never fade or change or go away. So please acknowledge, without any guilt, that we're going to miss playing in this particular way. Fine, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. But don't confuse the form with the formless. Don't confuse. You know, whenever you miss this, just acknowledge, I'm missing the form of it. It was fun. Because whatever else has been, it has been fun. A lot of joy, a lot of happiness, and a lot of struggle, and a lot of questioning, a lot of disbelief, a lot of anger. All's well. That's fun. You don't think anger's fun? You wouldn't do it if it wasn't. But just don't forget. Never confuse the two. Yes, there will be no more playing this way. But that's one kind of sorrow. Quite different, and I hope never confused with the fact that there need never be sorrow about this, what seems to be separation. There need never be sorrow, because the line between exists. All you have to do is pick up the phone. You know the numbers? We've given you the numbers so you wanted to scream. The numbers are very simple. Be still and know. So yes, grieve for what we can't do anymore, that only bodies can do. But don't get confused. Don't get confused. The part that has meaning, the part that has the ability to transmute your confusion into clarity, is the part that is always present and can never go anywhere. Can never go. So at this close here, I don't know, Roberta, what's it going to be?
Bartholomew,
I'm sure that
I'm in second
sentence
that a lot of people
are
looking
at
the
river Tuckers. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep us from you. You got it. Because the truth is that which you seek is in the river, in the mountain, in the valley, and in the emptiness. It's all one thing. But I know that some of you would like to say goodbye in some formal way, so instead of everyone saying, if we could just spend a few moments, and you would just please take this time to say whatever it is inside of you that you want to say. It doesn't have to be reflected in words. In fact, words are a deflection. It will be received, it will be understood. So those of you that have some farewell, or even some last complaint, complaints willingly received as long as they're silent. Let's just take a few moments just to, and remember, there's only one. How can you be separate from one? And as I know you've heard before, even one is too many. Even one is too many. So for a few moments then, please, let's be silent, and then we'll close. So, a good goodbye. Good and true. And what needs to be said is thank you. We never could have played if you weren't willing to play. And thank you. Your willingness to play with new ideas, play with new beliefs, new structures, letting go, all of that, it came from you. You have created the body of this work, each of you, in your own way. It's your creation. You asked, pretending not to know, so you created an answer. Now you can't say you don't know. You can never say again, I don't know how, I don't know where. Never. You've created the ending to your own game. So, I wish I could look each of you in the eye. But please understand, there's only one eye. One eye. It is this single eye that sees through the millions of eyes of yours. One seer through millions of eyes. One seer. One hearer that hears through all of the trillions of ears. One hearer. One breath that breathes through trillions of separated, seemingly separated bodies. One breath. No separation. So where could I go? I couldn't go any more than your breath can go. And when your breath goes, guess what? You'll find out that you are that which was breathing you, that which is seeing through you, that which is hearing and feeling and moving and thinking and creating through you You will find out who you are. So, with the deepest of thanks, without you it could never have happened. So, thank you for your creativity, your spontaneity, but most of all, your willingness to change, your willingness to let go of your self-pity, your doubt, your limits. Being willing, just willing, to experience yourself as that which you have always been could never be anything but that. That willingness had to come from you. So thank you. Travel well, and just relax and know. Be still and know. You can stand on the rocks of those words. They will hold you until the moment when you decide to be fully conscious of who you are. Inevitable. Inevitable. Thanks.